Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. Hezekiah came to the throne of Judah under very difficult circumstances. His father, Ahaz, had been a wicked king who had led the people of Judah away from the worship of Yahweh, and that he sacrificed his own son in a fire. He made altars and burned incense to other gods. He removed sacred objects from the temple to appease the gods of other nations. He closed the doors of the temple. This prevented people from worshiping the true God in the way had been called to do. As a result, the nation was in a state of moral and spiritual decline. The Assyrians were one of the most powerful empires in the world at that time. They were a threat to Judah because they were expanding their territory, and they had already conquered some of Judah's neighbors, including the northern kingdom of Israel. In what was known as the Fall of Samaria, the Assyrians had not only defeated the northern kingdom, but had also deported its people. Before his death, King Ahaz made an alliance with the Assyrians, but this only served to mollify them temporarily, and it enraged other neighboring kingdoms. Given how utterly depraved Ahaz was, it is surprising that he named his son, Hezekiah. The name Hezekiah means Yahweh strengthens. Hezekiah was only 25 years old when he became king, and he was faced with the daunting task of restoring the nation to its former glory. He immediately began to make reforms, and he instituted a religious revival. He cleansed the temple and reopened its doors. He removed the idols that his father, Ahaz, had placed in the temple, and he repaired the altar. The bronze serpent that Moses had made in the desert was also destroyed because the people had made it an idol. Hezekiah also brought back the utensils that had been used for worship, and he appointed priests and Levites to serve in the temple. Hezekiah called a national fast, and he led the people in prayer and repentance. He asked God to forgive the sins of the nation, and he promised to restore the worship of Yahweh. The people responded to their king's call, and they gathered at the temple to worship God. They brought sacrifices and offerings, and they sang songs of praise. Sometime soon thereafter, Hezekiah sent a letter to all his subjects, inviting them to come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The king wanted to restore the Passover, which had not been celebrated in Judah for many years. The people were happy to accept the invitation. That Passover was a time of great joy and celebration, and the people were filled with gratitude to God. And, for a time, things went well in the kingdom. That is, until Sennacherib turned his attention to Judah. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, from 705 to 681 BC. He was the son of Sargon II, and the builder of the great city of Nineveh. He was a ruthless conqueror, who had no mercy for his enemies. He is credited with expanding the Assyrian Empire to its greatest extent. In 701 BC, Sennacherib invaded Judah. The people were terrified when they heard the Assyrian Satan, or the Lion of Assyria, was coming. They had heard stories about his cruelty. The incursion began with a sudden and ferocious assault on the fortified cities of Judah, strategically positioned along the kingdom's borders. Sennacherib's forces, renowned for their military prowess and advanced weaponry, swept through the land, leaving destruction in their wake. Finally, they made it to the capital. As the sun rose over Jerusalem, its rays cast a glow upon the multitude of soldiers amassed outside the walls. The army of Sennacherib, like a relentless tide, encircled the city, their banners fluttering in the wind, and their weapons glinting ominously. The city's defenders, led by their resolute king, knew that their faith and determination would be put to the ultimate test. Jerusalem was a city built upon a hill. It stood as a formidable fortress, with thick walls, and fortified with towers. However, how long could it hold out, in the face of such an overwhelming army? Days turned into weeks, and weeks into months, as the siege wore on. The Assyrian army cut off all avenues of escape. The city's inhabitants found themselves trapped, their world reduced to the confines of its walls. Hunger gnawed at their bellies, as the provisions grew scarce, and the toll of the siege weighed heavily on their spirits. The sound of laughter and conversation was replaced by the hushed whispers of worry and prayers for deliverance. The city's resources dwindled, and the people grappled with the harsh reality of their situation. In their threats against the city of Jerusalem, the Assyrians openly defied the God of Judah, likening him to the powerless gods of the nations they had conquered. Hezekiah sought divine guidance. He prayed constantly in the temple. And then he turned to the prophet Isaiah. The Lord, through the prophet, reassured the king that Assyria would never enter Jerusalem. Rather, the invaders would be sent home, and the city of Jerusalem would be spared. The siege dragged on for 2 years. And Hezekiah remained on his knees.
Now, Lord our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are God.
Then, on a fateful night, a miracle unfolded, within the darkness. An angel of the Lord, unseen by mortal eyes, descended upon the Assyrian camp. Chaos ensued, as the invincible army found itself ravaged by a mysterious plague. Death swept through the ranks. By the time morning came, 185,000 warriors were dead. The remaining Assyrians quickly broke camp and withdrew in abject defeat. God had prevailed. Later, Hezekiah fell gravely ill, and the prophet Isaiah delivered a sobering message, advising him to put his affairs in order and prepare for his impending death. In response, Hezekiah fervently prayed to God, pleading for mercy and reminding him of his righteous actions. Before Isaiah could even depart from the king's presence, God instructed him to return and convey this message to Hezekiah. His prayer had been heard, and his life would be prolonged by 15 years. Isaiah applied a poultice to Hezekiah's affliction, and miraculously, the king was healed. However, in a moment of prideful folly, Hezekiah made a grievous error. Babylon sent envoys with gifts, upon hearing of his recovery, and Hezekiah, seeking to impress them, displayed all his treasures, including silver, gold, and weaponry. Isaiah sternly reproached the king for his actions, and prophesied that all the wealth he had shown the Babylonians would eventually be carried away to Babylon, along with his descendants. In the years following his restoration to health, Hezekiah fathered Manasseh, who would become the most wicked king in Judah's history. Tradition suggests that Manasseh was responsible for the murder of Isaiah, the prophet, and close friend of Hezekiah. Despite this blemish on his record, Hezekiah's life predominantly exemplified faithfulness and reliance on the Lord. 2 Chronicles 31 verse 20 says that he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. His faith went beyond mere appearances, evident in his bold reforms. Hezekiah's trust in God yielded answered prayers, successful endeavors, and miraculous victories over his enemies. Hezekiah's life contains several foreshadowings of Jesus. Hezekiah experienced a miraculous healing and restoration from a severe illness through the prayer of faith. This foreshadows Jesus' role as the ultimate healer and restorer, who brings physical, emotional, and spiritual healing to all who trust in him. Hezekiah's earnest prayer to God for mercy and deliverance is reminiscent of Jesus' own fervent prayers, especially in Gethsemane, before his crucifixion. Both Hezekiah and Jesus demonstrate the power of prayer and their dependence on the Father. Hezekiah's steadfast trust in the Lord, particularly in the face of daunting challenges, reflects Jesus' complete reliance on his Father's will. Just as Hezekiah sought God's guidance and wisdom, Jesus always sought to do the will of the Father. Hezekiah experienced supernatural deliverance and victory over the mighty Assyrian army, highlighting God's faithfulness and protection. This prefigures Jesus' ultimate victory over the forces of evil, sin, and death, through his death and resurrection. Hezekiah's willingness to make difficult decisions, including implementing religious reforms and purging idolatry, reflects Jesus' sacrificial leadership. Both leaders were committed to God's truth, even in the face of opposition and personal cost. Hezekiah's life and miraculous healing became a sign of God's power and faithfulness to the surrounding nations. Similarly, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection serve as a sign, to all nations, of God's redemptive love and his ability to save. Isaiah's prophecy about the Babylonian exile and the future loss of Hezekiah's descendants foreshadows Jesus' role as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. Jesus, the descendant of David, would willingly suffer and die to bring salvation to all, including those who would reject him. Like Hezekiah, do you acknowledge Jehovah as the one true God?